Last week, we received a great question from a listener, and not so much a question, but just a suggestion for a topic that we should discuss.
It was wonderful. We say it all the time. Contact us. Let us know the kind of things you want to hear about, that you want to hear more of. And it was great to receive those requests.
Right. We actually received several.
Several.
Mm-hmm. And so we thought we would start out this week with one that we received. Clearly, this listener has been following for a little while, and she saw that we've done a few weeks on different conditions and different disorders, and she asked if we could do one on eating disorders.
And I hadn't thought about that before. You know, you and I spend a lot of time talking about food and nutrition and food as medicine and that sort of thing. I never stopped long enough to think that we should talk about eating disorders, though we see them frequently. So thank you for the suggestion.
Yeah. So throughout the course of this week, we are going to focus on eating disorders. And we're going to start out differentiating eating disorders from other eating habits, eating fads.
Right. This is another one of those things. We've many times over the past year, we've talked about the difference between a real disorder and differentiating real disorders from, because people will often say, well, do I have depression or am I, one of the most common questions is, am I an alcoholic?
Right. You know?
And it has nothing to do, it has very little to do with your drinking. It's more about, it's about impairment.
Some of the behaviors associated.
That's right. Are you impaired? And so too with eating disorders. We have many people who have, for example, young children will develop food preferences, That's not an eating disorder.
Right.
The elderly might change their eating habits, and sometimes it's a disorder and sometimes it isn't. So it's important to differentiate when you have a clinical disorder versus when it's something else that you really needn't worry about too much.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, the DSM-5 has kind of expanded the category of eating disorders to include feeding and eating disorders, and so it includes a couple of other things that were not in that section previously.
I think DSM-5 does a much better job of categorizing, organizing the feeding and eating disorders than the previous versions, because they now have them all in one place. You know, which they were scattered out around the DSM-4 and the TR. But they've put them into a single category in DSM-5, and it really is helpful just to be able to go to that single section.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but it includes a number of diagnoses, and we're going to go through those throughout the course of this week. But you made a very good point just a moment ago with when we think about disorders. One of the things we have to think about is the issue of impairment.
Right.
And with eating disorders, you know, it's difficult to think about, could perhaps be difficult to think about an impairment in functioning because of an eating disorder.
Right.
Because we're just talking about how much you're eating and, you know, those kinds of things. And many times people with eating disorders still go to work and do some of that.
Right.
But the issue, one of the main issues with eating disorders is that it really can cause a lot of damage to your body.
Right.
It can cause a lot of impairment as it relates to bodily functions, and it impairs your body's ability to gain nutrients and some of those kinds of things. You may still go to work, but as we talk about some of the disorders, like anorexia, for example, one of the ways that anorexia manifests is through excessive exercising.
Right.
And so a person with anorexia may spend 4 or 5 hours a day in the gym.
That's right.
So
not uncommon.
There is some impairment there because you're substituting other activities that you could or should be doing for, you know, going to the gym and doing those kind of things.
Yeah, when we talk about the eating disorders, I think it's one of the places where, of all the psychological disorders, where you see physical manifestations.
Right.
You know, you can have many other disorders but not show physical symptoms.
Right.
With eating disorders, it's common that you'll also see wasting, muscle wasting, obesity, thinning hair, damaged teeth.
Amenorrhea, lots of things.
Yeah, you see these physical symptoms.
Right.
Okay, so when we talk about impairments associated with eating disorders, we're talking about some noticeable physical ailments. And then the other category is all the psychological functioning. Right. And as you say, if you're exercising, you're obsessing over food and exercising for 4 or 5 or 6 hours a day, you're probably sacrificing mm-hmm. something else that right. you should be doing. It begins to affect how well you do in school or mm-hmm. how well you do at your work or how right. you're doing with your family. So it begins to interfere with normal functioning.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, again, throughout the course of the week, we're going to really hit on a lot of these right. points more specifically. But today, what we want to make sure that we emphasize is that those disorders, those conditions, those issues are very different than, you know, particular eating habits or particular eating fads like right. veganism or vegetarianism mm-hmm. or, you know, paleo diets and right. those kinds of things.
Yeah, I think you can, you look at the eating disorders, which are lifespan right. issues. I mean, mm-hmm. it doesn't differentiate by gender,
right.
age. Young children can have right. eating disorders. The elderly can have it. So it's a lifespan issue. And it can affect any age, any gender, mm-hmm. nationality, race.
Right.
It affects, it can affect anybody. But you're right. You have to differentiate what is a disorder
right.
from what might just be a phase or a fad. Mm-hmm. And I think if it helps to organize your thinking that children usually develop food right. preferences.
Right.
Teenagers begin to diet. They mm-hmm. get fad diets or they change their eating habits mm-hmm. because it's part of that search for independence,
right.
search for separation. So if your parents are big meat eaters, yeah. you know, frequently those children become vegetarians. And
it's always funny when you see mm-hmm. a kid and they're like, I'm a vegan, right. you know, I don't believe in having anything with leather. Mm-hmm. Then you go out and like, you know, dad has a big truck.
Right.
And the front says, you know, beef, it's what's for dinner.
Right.
You know, it's like,
right.
okay. It's, and
right.
then, you know, the Remington and everything, the little stickers on the back.
It
dad's
is.
A, clearly a hunter.
Right. And so it's part of that
yeah.
independence, separation. And then the elderly have another set of issues
right.
because they frequently, if there's some early onset dementia, they will forget to eat,
mm-hmm.
okay,
mm-hmm.
or they're living alone or they mm-hmm. might be depressed. They lose track of the time,
right.
how much they're eating, when they ate last. Appetite
right.
goes down, flavor diminishes
right.
over time.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you think of what happens to in childhood, adolescence, and the elderly,
mm-hmm.
it helps to organize your thinking about what might not be an eating disorder. It
right.
might be something else.
Absolutely.
You may want to address it,
mm-hmm.
but it's not a clinical disorder.
Right, mm-hmm. yeah. So again, we have, it seems like every few weeks or so, there's a new diet
yeah.
that's coming out.
Right.
You know, so we have paleo, and then we have keto, and then we have again sort of vegetarian, vegan,
gluten-free,
Mediterranean.
Popular. Right.
We have all of these dietary fads that
yeah.
come out, and you know, they're really popular for a little while, and
mm-hmm.
then they kind of back off a little bit. I remember there was one for some time. Referring to eating based upon your blood type.
Right.
And
yeah.
Eat Right
yeah.
for Your Type was the name
mm-hmm.
of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, if you are O positive, this is the type of diet that you should have.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, authors will talk about some science behind some of that, some of those recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sometimes it works for people and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we all need to remember is that there are researchers around the country, but also around the world,
mm-hmm.
doing research on nutrition.
Right.
Okay, hundreds, maybe thousands of people
mm-hmm.
doing research on nutrition. All the medical schools in the
right.
country, all the medical schools that are doing research on nutrition.
Right.
Okay, every once in a while, somebody's studying something and it attracts the news media. For
mm-hmm.
some reason, either it was a conference presentation or a publication that caught somebody's interest, and suddenly this particular line of research gets some traction in
right.
the media, and it might be gluten-free,
mm-hmm.
it might be low-carb,
mm-hmm.
it might be ketogenic, and it starts to develop a life of its own.
Right.
Okay, there's no reason for it except that it hit the news and it became
mm-hmm.
you know, hit social media and it became popular. Probably any diet you use will be effective for some time.
Initially. Right.
Right. Because you're eating more thoughtfully.
Right.
Probably because you're eating more thoughtfully.
Right.
You know, when gluten-free came out, everybody said, oh, I lose all kind of weight on gluten-free.
And then you plateau.
Probably not gluten.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably that you're eating fewer carbohydrates,
mm-hmm.
you're eating less fast food,
mm-hmm.
and you're avoiding those foods that yeah. had been...
Usually processed.
There. So, it's right. processed. You don't eat processed foods. You don't eat a lot of bread, a lot of pizza and pasta. And so that's probably why. It's probably nothing right. to do with gluten. It's just that those foods contain gluten.
Right. Okay. And it's important to recognize, again, that the diet may work for you for a short time, and then right. you will plateau. But there are some dietary plans that will work very well for some mm-hmm. people.
That's right.
And others that work very well for other people.
I can remember Preston Mercer was the head of the USF Lakeland campus for a long time, but his research was on nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
He had taught mm-hmm. nutrition at medical schools, and he would say that all the time. He'd say, the digestion process
mm-hmm.
is so complex, we really don't know
right.
exactly how it works.
Right.
And so, just as certain medications work for some people and not
right.
others, certain diets will work for some people and not others. We really don't know why, but not all diets will work for all people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. One of the ones that I've tried is I do the ketogenic diet.
Mm-hmm.
I go through periods where I do it very strictly, and then I will
yeah.
kind of back off a little bit and just kind of eat regularly for a while
mm-hmm.
and then go back to it. But when I'm on the ketogenic diet, I know I can tell a difference in the way that my body functions
mm-hmm.
and I feel better. You know, I had not, I had fallen off the wagon
mm-hmm.
for exercising
right.
just before we took our trip
to the Philippines.
And I started eating, I went off the ketogenic diet knowing that when we went to the Philippines,
mm-hmm.
I was going to eat lots of rice and those
right.
kinds of things. And so for the month of August,
Last month,
mm-hmm. I wasn't really exercising much, and I was still eating higher amounts of carbs. And so last week, I started the ketogenic again.
Mm-hmm.
Within 3 days, I felt as though I had so much energy that it just, like I had to start exercising again
mm-hmm.
because I had to burn off
the
extra energy.
Right.
And so that's how it works for me,
but it may not
work for everybody.
But
that
not
way.
Everybody has that response.
Right.
We talk to other people and they say, no, I've tried it, I've been faithful, I did exactly
mm-hmm.
as you instructed. And I felt nothing. I didn't lose weight.
Right.
I didn't really feel that good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it didn't suit you.
Right.
Okay. So it's not that the diets aren't any good. It's not that, oh, this is the diet. Yeah, it's the diet of the day because it got, for some reason,
right.
it got popular on media or in the news. Frequently, when we have professional
mm-hmm.
conferences,
mm-hmm.
like the American Psychological Association,
right.
we'll have its yearly meeting. And then news outlets will send
right.
Reporters to
yeah.
see what's going on or
yeah.
what are people talking about. And the buzz is they're talking about this year,
right.
okay? And so it gains traction in
mm-hmm.
the news. It happens to be a one line of research. It could have been one of a dozen lines of research.
Right.
But that one became popular.
Yeah.
So try the diets.
Yeah.
If they work for you, that's great.
Right.
If they don't work for you, for some reason they don't work, move on to something else.
Yeah.
Okay.
Certainly research it before you,
yeah.
You know, read up about it, see what others are saying about it. You know, there's some diets out there that you probably should avoid.
I think anything really radical.
Right.
You know.
We learned a new word while we were researching this
mm-hmm.
called orthorexia.
Is it orthorexia?
Orthorexia,
yeah,
which is the progression of eliminating things from your diet. So
right.
you may eliminate this and then the next add something else and then something else. And
right.
it's another type of eating concern. It's not a formal diagnosis
right.
or disorder,
mm-hmm.
but it's another eating concern where you just continuously eliminate things from your diet. So your typical eating habits include fewer
right.
and fewer foods.
Right.
So when you're looking at some of these diets, you have to watch out for that. You have to watch out that you're not eliminating so many things that now all of a sudden all you're eating is
right.
you know, broccoli. I mean, broccoli is great for you, but it can't be your only source of food.
Exactly. Across time, the last 1,000 years, we typically eat a varied diet. Mm-hmm. Okay, most of us eat it, unless you're an Eskimo, where you have a limited food supply because of the weather, or you live in a tropical place where there, but most of us have a varied diet because there are vitamins and minerals from food group to food group, and most of us need all of them, and that's why we're always told a balanced diet. I don't like the word balanced diet because it's like there's some magic formula that you have to have this much protein and this much. I think you just need some of each type of food because each food brings you a different kind of nutrition.
Right. Well, not just that, but, you know, you should eat food that's in season.
Right.
You know, there's a certain season for strawberries. You know, if it's August and you're eating strawberries, it's probably, you should think about that. You know, where did these strawberries come from? Because, and you know, like here in Florida, you know, strawberry season is more in the fall and winter because that's, you know.
Is that when the strawberry festival is?
Well, yeah, because we always, you drive by and you can see they're always concerned about frost and they're always, they spray them during the winter and then they'll get ice on them, but somehow the ice protects them and it's really interesting. So, but if you're eating foods that are out of season, you know, you got to think about where they're coming from and what they had to do.
When are they picked in order to get here?
Right.
That's why they pick them when they're a little bit green because they ship better.
Right.
And you spray them with carbon dioxide and it makes them colored.
And they look nice.
Right.
So.
But no, you need this range of foods.
We should be dietitians.
And if it's a fascinating world.
It is.
I mean, chemically, the digestion is so interesting chemically because it's so complex. But you should probably avoid any diet that severely restricts the type of foods that you're eating. If you're eating a single food, it's probably not good. You will lose weight, but you're going to lose weight for the wrong reason.
Right.
So, but these are not—they're not necessarily eating disorders.
Right.
Okay. When children develop food preferences, that may not be an eating disorder.
Right.
When the elderly stop, may not be an eating disorder. So approach these things carefully, and whether you're dealing with an elderly parent or a young child, don't panic. Don't get too excited about it. Do your research, talk to other professionals, and decide if you're dealing, if what you're seeing might be a clinical disorder. And you can go, we list some articles here in this podcast that list the symptoms. You know, when you start seeing these things, perhaps you should consult a professional. If you're not seeing these things, it's probably just a fad diet. Teenagers, I don't know many teenagers who didn't try a vegetarian or vegan diet sometime between puberty and 21. So don't get excited. Just be patient. They'll work their way through it.
Yeah.
They may stay as vegetarians and they may change. They may come back. But it's not a clinical disorder.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the important message here. Don't get worked up about it. Right.
All right. Well, that's it for today.
Yeah.
Tomorrow we're going to talk about the prevalence of eating disorders, and so we'll have a little bit more information about
that. Some surprising data there.
Absolutely.
I was surprised with some of the numbers.
Yeah. Until then, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.